Today on Roadmap to Success with Pastor Neil.
Only his will matters. So if it matters, then it means my fruit must reflect what he wants. Anything outside of that is what? So if God has called me to be playing piano and to sing, and I'm here preaching, one day when I stand before him, no matter how good I preach, he will say, I don't what? I don't know you.
In our faith journey, we often face moments of exhaustion and struggle. During these times, we can find solace and direction by surrendering our will to God's will, just as Jesus did, and also instructed us to do in the Lord's Prayer, as Pastor Neil emphasizes in this lesson. He points out that the essence of our Christian journey lies in yielding to God's will and living by kingdom principles, where only the will of the King matters. This requires us to surrender our minds and bodies as tools of righteousness, guided by the Holy Spirit. By doing so, we must be ready to go to places we may resist and take actions we might want to avoid, trusting in God's plan for our lives. As Proverbs 19:21 says, "Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." Let's listen to Pastor Neil's lesson. Not my will, but yours be accomplished.
We have understood in our previous lessons that maximizers have a way of life. And we talked about Jesus, and today I want us to delve deep into the life of Jesus. He maximized the exhaustion moment by simply saying, I am going to harmonize my will, my desires, with that of the Father. So our focus and our emphasis this morning is that not my will, but yours be accomplished, or yours be done. Not my will. God wants you to surrender your will to him. Tell the person sitting next to you, God wants you to surrender your will to him. All right, the book of Luke chapter 22. Are you there? Luke 22. And in these verses, we see Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. The scripture says he shows up there. It was a difficult hour for him. He's come to earth to die. But he's reached a point that the pain has brought him to a point of exhaustion, and Jesus has to deal with that moment. In fact, in the heat of things, he prays. Most of the time when we read it together so we don't see the picture. All right? In the book of Luke chapter 22, are you there? Pick it up from verse 39. I'll read it from the Christian Standard Bible. He went out and made his way as usual to Mount Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he reached the place, he told them, "Pray that you may not fall into temptation." Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and began to pray. Verse 42. "Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." He came to earth to die. Now, I know it's Jesus, so you all don't want me to say anything crazy about him. But Jesus was choking. He was getting ready to just chicken out. And then the scripture says he caught himself. He presents a picture to us that as humans, our moments of exhaustion will come. But we will find a way out if we choose to say, not my will, but what? Yours be done. Verse 43, let's all read that together because it's important. Shall we, everybody, go? Then an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. See, sometimes we love verse 43. But the only reason we have 43 is because of 42. Because after he surrendered his will to the will of the Father, then an angel came and strengthened him. Let me read verse 42 in two other versions. Now, if you read it from the Living Bible, it says, "But I want your will, not mine." If you read it from the New Living Translation, it says, "Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." So, We need to want it, and we want it to be done. Not just saying it. Are you with me? We need to what? Want the will of God, and then we want it to be what? Done. Amen. Jesus did not only pray this prayer, but he taught his disciples to pray the same way. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Let's pick up two verses. Matthew chapter 6. We'll read the 9th and the 3rd verse. Therefore, you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Verse 10. Would you read with me? Shall we, everybody? Go. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom what? It has something to do with the will. All right? That's why it's there. He says, your will be done. Please write this down. The essence of our Christian journey lies in the act of yielding our will to God. The whole Christian walk, everything we are doing, that's what it's all about. When we come to church and we pray, we are subjecting our will to God. When you fast, that's what you're doing. We must allow God to direct our paths rather than insisting on our way. You see, every one of us here have a will. Don't you? Mm-hmm. The necessity arises from understanding that our Christian existence is to be framed within the context of the kingdom. Notice what Jesus says. Your kingdom come, then your will be what? Everybody say democracy. Say that with me, democracy. Then say kingdom. All right. Your Christian life must be lived in the context of the kingdom, not in a democracy. We live in America in a democracy. This is a republic. But God is a king, so we live in a kingdom as Christians. And physically, we are in a democracy. Are you guys with me? In a democracy, you have a say. In a democracy, the president is not Lord, but God is Lord. Lord means Adonai. He owns you. He is over you. The Bible says the earth is the Lord and every single little thing in it. Are you guys with me? So I want to look at some two basic kingdom principles in relation to our will. And I'm going this direction because I want you to have a better understanding of what God's word says. Everybody say kingdom. Turn to the person sitting next to you. Tell them we live in a kingdom. As Christians. Kingdom principle number one, write it down. In a kingdom, your will does not matter. The only person's will that matters is the will of the king. In a kingdom, the desires of the people, of the subjects, hold no significance. Only the desires of the king are of importance. If you don't want to go through that lengthy sentence, simply write it down. It is only God's will that matters. Mine doesn't. Now, we live in America. And for the rest of you, listen to me, in the nations of the world, everybody wants to have their way. Correct? If we are to queue for something, who wants to be the last person in the line? We even teach our children to be first in schools. But whose child should be last? So you notice that by the way we operate, we have a mindset that it is our will, what we want, not what the other person wants. So that kind of attitude fights our Christian walk. I need you to pay attention. It puts you into a mental thinking, a way of thinking that you always want to have your way. Young people, parents says don't do it. Then they figure out another way to do it. Because we all, it's not just young people. Parents, you do it too. We always want to have what? Our way. As long as we are Christians, we live in God's kingdom. And in God's kingdom, it is only his will that matters. Yours hold no significance. It's a very difficult thing to say, but I think I have said it. Is that okay to say it? Look there with me in the book of Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. I am pushing on this idea that in God's kingdom, your will does not matter. Are you in Proverbs 19, 21? He says, many plans are in a person's heart. Other version says, many plans are in a person's mind. But it is the Lord's decree. It is the Lord's counsel. It is the Lord's purpose. It is His plans that will prevail. In other words, you can have a will. If God has not willed it, that will doesn't mean a thing. This is why you don't need to be afraid of who is willing some things in the world, including this country, because whatever they will, God's will come to pass. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Isaiah 46, look at the 10th verse. I declare the end from the beginning, and from long ago, what is not yet done, saying, my plan, my counsel, my will, my purpose will take place, and I will do all my will, saith the Lord. Are you understanding what I'm saying to you today? So you and I live in a kingdom where your will don't matter. It doesn't matter what you think and feel. It doesn't matter what I think and feel. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. What really matters is, come on, talk to me. What really matters is, God says, I will have my way. In fact, the actual Hebrew says, I am the Lord. I'm able to declare the end from the beginning. And so anything I have planned is as good as already done. It means it doesn't matter who stands in the way. When God gets ready and says, this is about to take place, He's simply going to bulldoze everybody out of the way. May the Lord be with you and cause that to become your story, because He is fighting for His children. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Why does God say such a thing? Because it's kind of bold. Don't you think? When there is Putin, when there is Trump, when there is Xi, when there is the other one in North Korea, when there are powerful world leaders who feel they are powerful. Listen to why God said it. Are you in Psalm 24? Look at verse 1. I am meddling in the word of God. I want you to put your confidence and your faith in the word of God, not in what people say and what people think. Read with me if you can, shall we, everybody? The earth and everything in it, the world and its inhabitants, belongs to the Lord. Can you put that up in the King James? He says, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwelling. Please notice how the King James put it. The earth is whose? Notice that the word Lord is not in small letters. It is the Lord. You remember when Moses asked him, what is your name when I meet the Israelites? What should I tell them? What is your name? And he says, tell them the Lord. He says, throughout the generations, this is how I will be what? Why is he Lord over the earth? Because he built the earth. You build a house, we call you land. So if he built the earth, then he is the Lord of the earth. So he says, the earth is there. The last time I checked, United States is on the earth. And this place is the Lord's. Not only the earth is the Lord's, but he says, the people that dwell therein. The last time I checked, you dwell here. I said, the last time I checked, the politicians dwell here. The last time I checked, everybody dwells here. The earth is the Lord and the people who dwell in it. China is for the Lord. Russia is for the... You are not understanding. We are talking about the will. I'm laying a basis and I'll get you that. God is saying, I have the right to demand that it's only my will that will be followed. So when you see people who are following and pushing the agenda, do not be afraid. Because when God allows it, it means he's rearranging some stuff. Did you get what I just said? When God allows it, he is what? Rearranging. And by the time he's done, you see, God does his work in a very intricate way. By the time he's done, the people who were pushing their way will look like, ah, we thought we were, and God says, I got you. I got you. Death is the Lord's. Grab your Bibles and say, the earth is, including the people that lives in. Now, I don't want to jump something. Go back. He says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness. The word fullness is means the things that simply makes this world what it is. So he's talking about the elements in terms of the gases that does all the things for us. The galaxies, everything. God says, I own everything. I am the landlord of the earth. You may be the landlord of United States. You may be the landlord of your car. You may be the landlord of your house. But God owns the owners. I said, God owns the... Are you learning anything today? So no matter what you are dealing with at this time, remember that God owns not only the land, but he owns those who owns the land. It's time for us to live the Christian life. Quit religion. Psalms 57 verse 1. This ought to be your prayer during this time. I want to take a moment to encourage someone who is afraid in these times. Don't be afraid. He says, be merciful to me, O God. You see, the Psalms are both songs and prayers. They show you how to pray. So sometimes the simple way is to simply pick it up and just read it back to him. Be gracious to me. God, be gracious to me. For I take refuge in you. I will seek refuge in the shadow of your wings until danger passes. Can I give you my translation? Because I'm in the process. Hide me until this calamity is over. So for someone who is wondering if God still controls this world, this ought to be your prayer. Hide me in the shadow of your wings until this disaster, I'm prophesying. Hide me under the shadow of your wings until the things that we are seeing passes. Because nothing that starts stays. It has an end date. Everything that has a beginning date has an end. And the last time I checked, the only one who does not have an end date is the Lord who owns the earth. So in the midst of your fear, I need you to grab your Bible. Open to Psalm 57 and 1. Have mercy upon me. I'm doing it in the King James. Have mercy upon me, O God. And that I would take refuge in your wings. According to my version, hide me in the midst of your shadow. Please notice, it is his what? What hides in the shadow? What hides in the shadow? Nothing. If something is in the shadow, it's exposed. So people can see you, but they can't touch you. Because you, whenever you are in the shadow, to them, they see you. But God says, now you are covered. You are covered. As everybody say, I am covered. In the name of Jesus. So, we have established that we live in a kingdom. And in this kingdom, your will doesn't matter. Only God's will. Did you get that? Let me show you an example in the book of Esther, in the Old Testament. Are you in the book of Esther? You remember that in the book of Esther, there was the king Ahasuerus, remember? We are talking about kingdom concepts, okay? That in the kingdom, it is only the will of the king. That what? Matters. And the queen was Vashti. In a kingdom, the queen's will doesn't matter. It is only the king's will. You will say, that's not fair. But that's kingdom concepts. And the Bible we read is a kingdom book. It's not a book of democracy. Are you guys following me? We are told that King Ahasuerus threw a party. And the queen also decided she was going to throw a party. Let's pick it up from verse 9, Esther chapter 1. And let's see what's going on here. Queen Vashti also gave a feast for the women of King Ahasuerus' palace. The problem was that King Ahasuerus' party was boys only. So the queen also said, let me also have a party for their girls. Ain't that democracy? Is it not democracy? Vashti forgot that she lives in a kingdom. And in a kingdom, you are only who you are because of your alignment with the king. When you are outside of the king's will, you are as good as dead. So let's continue reading. Verse 10. On the seventh day, when the king was feeling good from the wine, Ahasuerus commanded Mehunam, Bitsa, Habona, Bicta, Abakta, Zita, and Karaka, the seven eunuchs who personally served him, to bring Queen Vashti before him with her royal crown. He wanted to show off her beauty to the people and the officials because she was very beautiful. But Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's command that was delivered by his eunuchs. The king became furious and his anger burned within him. The rest of the story, Vashti was removed, Esther was put in place. I wanted to see what happens in the kingdom. In a kingdom, your will don't matter even if you are the queen. The only time a queen's voice matters is when there is no king. Are you with me? So in a kingdom, what matters? You need to get that fact, else this whole lesson doesn't make sense. In a kingdom, whose will matters? The king. Does your will matter? Me and you. Does our will matter? Does our will matter? The will of no other world leader matters. The only thing, the only persons whose will matters is who? Is God. Are you understanding what we're saying? All right, let me bring you back to the New Testament. And now I am going to talk about you and me. So far, we've talked about other people. Let's talk about me and you. Matthew chapter 7, are you there? We're laying the groundwork so we can pray. Are you Matthew 7? This scripture is a scripture I fear. I don't know why. And please, if we all can read Matthew 7 from 20 to 23, everybody go. So you will recognize them by their fruit. Now, Jesus is talking, and in the context, I'm trying to explain the context before we continue. And in the context, he is talking about the fact that when you see an apple fruit, it tells you that the tree is what? Apple tree, right? So he makes a certain analogy, and he comes to this point, and he says, by the fruit of the thing, you would what? You will know, you will recognize. So please, in that context, everything else that is about to be said, Jesus is saying it in that context, that there's a certain level of fruit that need to be seen when it comes to the will of God. Because if you say that my will has aligned with the king, but then he sees a certain fruit, then you are not actually what? Aligned. Are you with me? All right, come on, let's continue. Look at verse 21. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the ones who does the will of my Father in heaven. Before we go to the next verse, remember we are talking about what? The fruit, okay? So now he mentions two different fruit. Fruit number one is those who say what? Lord, Lord. But they never have anything to do with the Lord. Then the second fruit is those who say Lord, and then they have a relationship with what? With the Lord. Are you with me? All right. Next verse. Let's read. Go. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and do many miracles in your name? Verse 23. Then I, Jesus is speaking here, then I will announce to them, I never knew you. Please underline that. Depart from me, you law breakers. So the fruit, Jesus says, I'm the only one who can tell. And when I look at a certain fruit, I would say, I don't know Isn't Shabba in the house? Abna, come here. I want to receive my lovely daughter. I just said she's my daughter. Anybody in the house who can deny that she's my daughter? Because maybe you know her father. So you have a right to say, that's not my daughter. Anybody can just raise their hands and say, no, she's not your daughter? Why not? Because you know that what I am saying is true. Suppose I am Jesus, and then I say to her, you are a believer in the kingdom, but when you do certain things on a particular day, I would deny that I don't know you. Does that mean that I don't know her? Come on, answer me. Does that mean that I don't know her? Because the Bible says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. So if he says, I don't know you, it means that he's supposed to know us a certain way. But when he looks at the fruit, when he looks at what you were doing, he doesn't know you in that way. Are you with me? Did you get what I just said? So God is saying, if it is Lord, 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 and it's not coming out of here, and your fruit does not match up with what you are saying, on the last day, he will look at you and says, the one that I knew before you were born, the one that I knew, that's not you. The thing. So some of you, you have been called preachers, but you are singing. Some of you are business owners, but God has called you as apostles. So when he says, I don't know you, it means you have done something that is outside of his will. Did you copy what I just said to you? I pray that you will not stand in God's presence and he looks at you and say, I don't know you. Because you chose to do something other than what he asked you to do. We're talking about aligning our will. Not my will, but what? Are you seeing where I'm going now? Only his will matters. So if it matters, then it means my fruit must reflect what he wants. Anything outside of that is what? So if God has called me to be playing piano and to sing, and I'm here preaching, one day when I stand before him, no matter how good I preach, he will say, I don't what? Know you. Turn to the person sitting next to you and ask them, does God know you right now? The way you are living your life, does he know you? Keep the answer to yourself. Does he know? Sometimes we are rushing after prophets, we are rushing after this, we are rushing after that, we are rushing after that. For all you know, you who is rushing after other people, God has actually fashioned you to rather to be a blessing to people. Don't let him one day when you stand in his presence and he says, I don't know you. Because before he formed you in the womb, he knew you. And he knew you that he's fashioned you to bring out a certain fruit. As long as the fruit is not the very fruit he wants, he doesn't know you. Remember, he's an all-knowing God. So an all-knowing God cannot say, I don't know. It is the concept in which he's speaking, kingdom concepts. I have brought you as my own. I have created you to produce a certain fruit. Anything outside that, I don't know you. Can I bring it to modern terms? You went to work. Your supervisor set up certain expectations and goals for you. Correct? During your evaluation, he realized that you chose the goals that were set for you by management. You put it somewhere. And then you did what you like. When they evaluate you, what do you think will happen? What do you think will happen? It is so clear that the supervisor can say, I don't know you. Because the goals that were set, that's not what you had accomplished. And many of us, we are doing things, oh, but are they the things that are in God's will for you? We are prophesying. But did God call you to prophesy? And you who is chasing them, for all you know, the person you are chasing, he's already missed it. So you who is chasing the mist, you are miss. Because you miss and you will miss again. when it comes to the will of God, only God can define that to you.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.